down and goal.
Ready to go.
Fields again. Over the middle. Caught. Komet. Touchdown. Cole Komet. Third and 2 weeks. And the Commanders fans are going, what is going on?
I love, what is going on? That's the voice of Al Michaels, Amazon Prime, Primetime TV. And again, for those of you who have been with us for the last 2 hours, we're on the air until 5 a.m. This is Chuck Swirsky. And we were in a discussion about Al Michaels, one of the greatest play-by-play or hosts ever in sports broadcasting, who has never eaten a vegetable. And it's true. It's true. He has never eaten one vegetable. No celery, no broccoli, no carrots. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'll tell you what's unbelievable. How about this? Justin Fields, you know, with the 4 touchdown passes, in his first 30 career games, 0. He has 2 in his last 5 days. I love it. Put him in the hall. Put him in the Hall of Fame. Justin Fields. Again, Justin Fields, DJ Moore, connect 8 times, 230 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And the Bears end a 14-game losing streak, 40-20 over the Washington Commanders. And then after the ball game, Magic Johnson, who is one of the owners, I guess, a minority owner. They've got, I guess, 20 people under Josh Harris that have invested of $6 billion. So I don't know how much Magic has invested, but he's there, and he's on TV a lot, and he speaks a lot about their football team, and he blasted the Commanders. You know, they didn't play with any passion. You know, there's no fire. And he's right. I mean, here they are on national TV at home trying to end a mini two-game losing streak, and the Bears ring it up for 40 points on Washington. All right, so good for the Bears. Good for the Bears. All right, we've got one line open. Let's go to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. You can also text us, and we have one of our texters says, no one can tell me that Al Michaels has never eaten a potato. Well, a potato is a vegetable. Is that right, Tyler? Last time I checked.
Absolutely.
A potato is a vegetable. But Al Michaels has never eaten a veggie. So if the Bears have just arrived and they're in their car driving around and they're saying, what can we learn from this sports talk host who's the play-by-play broadcaster for the Chicago Bulls? Well, I just gave you information. I may not know all the X's and O's and the plays of the Chicago Bears, but I can tell you that Al Michaels has never eaten a vegetable. Wayne is on the road driving around. Wayne, where are you?
I am on the Eisenhower, about to pass First Avenue, going towards Schaumburg.
All right. Do you honestly believe that Al Michaels has never eaten a veggie?
I can't believe a man makes it to his 70s and never tries a French fry. I can't buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you would think.
You got to have French fries with your burgers.
Yeah, absolutely. As a kid, you know, going through the drive-thru, I mean, whether he grew up, I believe, in Southern California, and what do they have? In-N-Out burgers there, right? So you would think they would have an In-N-Out burger. Yeah, I don't know if they were around, 60, 70 years ago. But I mean, McDonald's or something, and you would think, yeah, give me a burger and fries and a shake. But he said he has never been exposed as far as wanting to eat a veggie. And so there you go. Anyway, so what do you think of the ball game with the Bears?
I wish I could say that I watched it, but I was in my car driving, so I listened to it. And I want to get back to that, but first I wanted to talk about, rest in peace, the great Dick Butkus.
Yes, yes.
And you know what? It is a huge loss for the Bears family. But it's more, because let's remember, every year the best linebacker in college gets the Dick Butkus Award.
Yes.
You know, he represents football more than just as much as he represents the Bears. And he was the most feared player in an era when football players were a lot scarier than they are today. The game is rough now, but it was just worse then.
Yeah, I mean, you take a look at some of those hits. You are absolutely right, Wayne. You take a look at some of the hits, and you saw no flags on the field. And I suggest, folks, you Google Dick Butkus, because a lot of our listeners weren't even born when he played for the Bears. And just look at the highlights of Dick Butkus as he demoralized. You know, it's one thing, he would hit you and hit you hard. He would take a running back's head and spin him around. I mean, it was vicious. It was violent. And it also sent a message to every running back and quarterback. The moment they saw 51 coming at them, I'm going down. And it was unbelievable. I suggested to people, there's a play where the Bears were playing the Lions, and the Lions had a running back by the name of Altie Taylor, and Dick Butkus just shredded him, and it was unbelievable. And he did that to a lot of running backs, whether it was Leroy Kelly of Cleveland. You could go right down the list, on and on and on. Colts running backs back in the day, it was unbelievable. And Dick Butkus, and I mentioned this before, I had the pleasure of working with him when I was doing the Bears Radio Network, the pre, half, post-game shows. He was a gentleman. He loved football. And I'm talking about he loved football, and he also loved the fan base here in Chicago. He went to high school at Chicago Vocational, went to the University of Illinois. Illinois goes to the Rose Bowl. They beat the Washington Huskies. He gets drafted with Gale Sayers by the Bears in 65. He goes on to play in the college football all-star game at Soldier Field, where the all-stars of college played the victorious team in the National Football League. Usually it was Green Bay, sometimes Cleveland. But, I mean, Dick Butkus is a true Hall of Famer when he was on the field and also off the field. He loved football. And there are guys who like football. He loved football. And I hope the Bears do the right thing, which they will. And they're going to put a patch on their jersey. And hopefully they're going to have 51 on the turf because he deserves that. And you know what? As a fan of the Bears, we deserve that. And the Bears will definitely do it. There's no doubt in my mind the McCaskies will do that for Dick Butkus. Anyway.
I'm sure you're right.
Well, drive safely, all right?
I wanted to ask you a question. I've got another minute. I wasn't able to watch the game, but they said on the radio that Cole Kmet got 7 receptions in the first half, and he wasn't targeted at all in the second half.
Cole Kmet had 5 receptions in the ball game, 42 yards, as long as was 23, and he had a touchdown. I mean, but it was, you know, there was only 3 Bears caught passes tonight. Moore, Kmet, and Tanyan, who caught 2. But let me tell you something. As far as the Bears are concerned, this was a terrific game. They jumped on Washington early. They led 27-3. You know, the Commanders made a run in the third quarter, but the Bears put the game to bed, and it was an impressive win for the Bears. No doubt about that. So I appreciate the call. Thank you. Drive safely. One line open at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. People want to know what's going on with Chase Claypool, and according to Ryan Poles, I think it's safe to say that Claypool will never play in a Bears uniform again. So that's that. Dick Butkus, unbelievable. You know, we could talk about Butkus and what he meant to the Bears franchise, what he meant to the National Football League, really. I mean, you know, back in those days, there was no social media, and, you know, they would show games, and that was about it. There was no Monday Night Football until later in Butkus's career. You know, Monday Night Football came around in 1970, and that was in the twilight and tail end of the Butkus career. So really, you know, the National Football League is now must-see TV. It's a great theater every Sunday, and now Monday, and now Thursday, whatever. But he made a lot of friends, Butkus did, amongst people here in his hometown of Chicago, including those of us who worked with him on the Bears Radio Network, and that included our very own Hub Arkush. Okay, so we're going to hear from Hub in just a moment. And, you know, I can't say enough about what Dick Butkus meant to the Bears organization and the Bears fan base. But let's go to that clip with Hub talking about Dick Butkus.
He was a great human being. He was a great partner. He was a great friend. You know, it's hard to imagine living a life like Dick had to live, you know, being one of the greatest football players of all time, being a legend. You know, everybody always, you know, wanted part of something from him, and he always handled it so well. And you know, he was really a fairly quiet guy until you got to know him. And when you got to know him, just a really kind and generous human being, you know. And I think it's important to talk about the football star too, because as I just said, one of maybe the 10 greatest players of all time. You know, he was all that and more. He meant so much to the game. He meant so much to the city of Chicago. And I'm sure, you know, anyone else who was fortunate enough to call him a friend or a business associate would, you know, pretty much have the same things to say about him.
Hub Arkush, who worked with Dick along with Wayne Larrabee and Jim Hart when Butkus joined the Bears Radio Network in the mid-'80s. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday, presented by Busey Bank, and it's not a game, Illinois.com. And again, we've got a great morning right here on 670 The Score. We got Dustin Rhodes with a pregame show from 5 to 5:30 at 6 a.m. with the pick six. We got Ross Tucker at 7. We got Joe Fortenbaugh at 7:45. DJ Moore, and what a story. He will be live with Mully and Haw at 8 a.m. You got the great Brad Biggs at 9. Bernstein and Holmes with Brisker and Heron and Fishbane and Jenkins and Parkins and Spiegel with Kreutz and Weider and Johnson, Jalen Johnson, who missed the game, along with Eddie Jackson. But again, the Bears were just dropping. I mean, injuries galore. And the Bears medical staff, they got a Swirsky game ball tonight because they deserve it. I mean, they lost so many players. And the Bears don't play again until the 15th at home against the Minnesota Vikings. Well, again, prior to the game, the death of Dick Butkus was announced. And again, I was working on Bulls and Milwaukee Bucks notes, and I get this text from the sports czar of 670 The Score, and for that matter, the greatest sports radio executive ever, Mitch Rosen, shameless plug, but it's true. And he goes, "How about Dick Butkus?" And I said, "What about him?" And he said, "He passed away." I went, "What?" And so I immediately went on social media and found out the story, and I was just shocked. I was saddened, and like everyone was. So we're going to replay on the pregame show a tribute to Dick Butkus. And so this is Patrick Manley, Olin Kreutz, and Mully. And they're going to talk about the life and the legacy of the great number 51 of the Chicago Bears, Dick Butkus.
I got to tell you, it's with a heavy heart that we meet this evening getting ready for the Bears. The great Dick Butkus, one of the greatest players in team history, in league history, the most feared man in football, passed away this afternoon, I guess overnight, at the age of 80, and that has been confirmed, and we've heard from the team, and we've heard from the family, and, you know, guys, I'm sure you met him at various Bears events over the years. As a guy that grew up in this town, just a larger-than-life figure. It is just difficult hearing this news. I've got two older brothers. We have a group of friends on one of these threads, and everybody is heartbroken. I mean, this guy inspired so many people around Chicago and around the country. It's a heartbreaking day.
Yeah, Mully, it is for me. I'm a kid who grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, where the Falcons weren't very good. I was a big football fan, you know, and it's a sad day in the city of Chicago for hear the passing of Dick Butkus, but he's not just a Bears icon. He's a football icon.
Yeah.
You know, growing up down south, I just, you know, you'd watch videos of him. Obviously, I'm way young enough, younger to watch him live or anything like that, but just growing up and seeing those highlights and videos, and when you grew up, that's how you wanted to play football. You know, when the rules allowed it, that's the way you wanted to play football, and he set a standard for everybody. not just for the defensive side of the ball, but for everybody to play as hard as he did, to play as tough as he was, everything. It's just a sad day for the football world to see an icon pass like that. But what a legacy he left behind, and what a standard he set for everybody that played behind him.
Yeah, and that's really, really well said. And that's what he was, Molly. He was the standard you try to live up to. And, you know, Pat says he's from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm from Honolulu, Hawaii. And we knew who Dick Butkus was. And we knew the standard that he set. And when you're trying to play football and you're trying to play tough and you're trying to represent your jersey and your family and the people in the building, the people of Chicago, well, this was the man you try to live up to. And when you shook his hand, usually you looked at the ground, right? Because you didn't really want to look at Dick Butkus. You didn't want him to hit you. So you just looked at the ground because that's what his name meant, man. When I walked, I remember walking up to him, and I remember how nervous I felt to meet this man, to meet this legend. He was larger than life. You know, and then all of a sudden, I'm a Chicago Bear, and there he is standing in front of you. And even as an older gentleman, I didn't want to try to block him. I'll tell you this, you don't want to be carrying a football in heaven right now, right? You don't want to be carrying walking around with a football up there. This guy was the epitome of what a football player was, the epitome of the way you wanted to play the game, an epitome of what you wanted to. Most of all, Pat, as you know, when you're a football player, there's a certain way you want to be remembered. You want to be remembered as a football player, mm-hmm. and you want it to be remembered the way everybody remembers Dick Butkus.
Yeah, and Mully, we had the Bears 100 a couple years ago, and he was there, and we were in a, like, the little back room or whatever. The current team was there, and a couple guys that were on the list or whatever. Before, I was fortunate enough to be back there, and he had his own little high top by himself with his kind of, you know, I don't know who he was with, a couple people, and nobody was within like 10 yards of him. Everybody else is talking. You know what I mean? That's what you're talking about, Olin. And everybody else is talking, but he had his own high top, and everybody who's a current Bear, coaches, nobody wanted to talk to him. He just had that aura. And I'm sitting there, and I'm talking with my wife, and I said, listen, I've got to go shake this man's hand. I haven't had a chance all the years I played. And I walked over, and I was like, hi, Mr. Butkus. And Olin, you're right, man. My eyes kind of like went down. You know what I mean? It's like you're meeting like a king or something. And I'm just like, yes, sir, nice to meet you. He goes, good to meet you, kid. Yeah, all right, nice to meet you. I was like, I'll move along. But I was like, I just had to shake his hand. I mean, but he had an aura, man. And he's in the room of other top 100 Bears, and he's the icon. You know, but by far, he's like the guy there that day, man. And it was an honor to meet him, and a sad day for the football world.
Yeah, I have a fun story about Dick Butkus. This is a strange one. I got to tell you, I did a story one time for the Sporting News. They were doing a tough guy edition. So I had done some work for them, and they called me up, and they wanted me to, you know, because I was from Chicago, to do a story on Dick Butkus, who ended up being the cover story on this edition. And it was great, and I got to talk to Dick, and I talked to a lot of his teammates. And I was told a story by somebody along the way. So I called this guy up. His name was Ed Flanagan. Ed Flanagan was a center for the Detroit Lions, and he was also their long snapper. And this guy was a Pro Bowl player, like a really good player, and had, I think he went to like four Pro Bowls. And I called him, I got him on the line, and I was running this story by him. And apparently what had happened is George Halas went up to Butkus before a game. And the Bears were terrible in those days. If you recall, they had been very good. They won a championship in 63, and then they drafted both Butkus and Gale Sayers, maybe one of the greatest drafts ever, but they kind of were fading, and they had problems, especially on offense, but the defense was pretty good. Make a long story boring, this Ed Flanagan said that, you know, he had heard this too, that George Halas went up to Butkus before a game. Apparently, during the week, this guy had been asked about Butkus, and he said, well, you know, we have a pretty good defense, too. So George Halas goes up to Butkus, and he tells him, if that Flanagan said that about me, what he said about you, I would never forgive it. And Butkus had no idea what was said or what had happened, and he was like, what? And he said that they said he was, like, frothing at the mouth. And so he goes out, and Flanagan has no idea. And Butkus is just killing him, coming at him every snap, he just went out of his mind going after this guy. And Flanagan said, like, this is the most miserable guy in the world. He said that from that point on, he would, like, see him in the Pro Bowl, and the guy wouldn't talk to him. He said that he used to go out to practice long snapping before the game, and he would throw his jacket down. Buckets would stand on the jacket, put his hands on his hip, and stare at the guy, right? So apparently the Bears are getting killed in this game. And the game's almost over, and Dick calls a timeout. And Doug Buffon said that they go in the huddle, and everyone is like, what are you doing? They're losing by 30. What are you doing? Let us out of here. We got to go home. And Butkus says, I want one more shot at that Flanagan.
That's it, man. That's what everybody, you know, we don't hear the details of that story, but that's what you think of that man. When you think about Dick Butkus, that's what you think about. Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable.
It's like there's a movie about King Arthur. I forget what it was, but the guy said, finally, a man worth killing, a name always half whispered. And that's Butkus, right? You always kind of half whisper his name, and you watch the things you say around him, because I always knew when I saw him, I thought to myself, man, do I really want to hear what he's about to say to me? You know, do I really want to hear? Because it just always felt like he was going to make you make a choice, and he's going to make you make a choice you didn't want to make. You know what I mean? Like, yep. It just felt like that kind of presence in the room.
Yeah.
It really is. It takes you, like, when you hear that, right? When I heard Danny say it, that Dick Butkus had passed, I just really paused because.
Yeah.
He just is,
yeah.
He was more than a football. He was the football player, if that makes sense. He was the guy. He was the guy that, and you always expected him to be there. You loved seeing him on the field waving the towel. I remember the feeling I had when it was him and Urlacher waving the towel at Soldier Field. Man, I was pumped up. If Dick Butkus showed up and said something in the microphone at Soldier Field, you were ready to go.
Yeah,
he went to Chicago Vocational High School, and he was both a linebacker and a running back. And he told me one time that he used to hate when guys were grabbing at the ball or punching at the ball when he was a running back. So his goal was to force fumbles, and he did that unbelievably. He went after the ball all the time. He was always trying to create a living hell for running backs. He would just, I mean, you know these hits. You see them now, they're illegal. I mean, the NFL has outlawed them. And if you watch, like, a tape, if you go to YouTube and watch a tape of that, it's extraordinary. And I always thought that was amazing that as a former high school running back, he had learned what running backs hate.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what made him so great. He just was, he's just amazing. Man, how many people... Before games on Sunday, when you know you were playing the Bears, we're like, man, this is going to be a long day. Mm-hmm. I've got to face 51 all day long. I mean, that's, you know, like Olin, you said, he's a football icon that just, you know, he struck fear in everybody. You hear all the NFL films, they play the music with that deep voice, and you just hear Dick Butkus and all that, and you just, it brings back memories of being a kid and just, oh, it's just, it's a sad day, but man, what a career and what he meant to, like, even me, a kid in Atlanta, a kid, I'm sure, in Florida, all over the country that played football, that just, you know, coaches probably yelled out, you're not, you know, everybody, no matter you're playing peewee ball anywhere, they're going to compare you to Dick Butkus if you play, you know, kind of like a wimp. You know what I mean? Like, his name still is probably called out.
Yeah, and it's just, Mully, as you know better than anybody, here's a guy, all the things we just said, you're hearing two former football players talk about this man as a football player and our respect and awe for him for the way he played the game, the physicalness, the way he got after people, the legendary. But then he could do anything, right? Mm-hmm. He could do anything. He could act. He could do – you did interviews. He drew you in. What an amazing just human being, a guy who just give him something to do and he'll be the best at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was extraordinary, and you know, he did great things to try to ensure that drugs were taken out of the game, and the kids weren't kind of seduced by that idea in order to be better at it. I mean, he really, and of course, the Butkus Award given to the best linebacker in the country. It's kind of extraordinary. you know, I think he's the best high school linebacker, right, the best college linebacker. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Dick Butkus. It's just, you know, the bulldog in Rocky was named Butkus.
No.
And it's perfect.
How many dogs in the country have been named Butkus? Not just Chicago. Seriously, not just Chicago, everywhere. I mean, that name is just, it's just synonymous with toughness. Like, you know, it's just badass. Like, that's what it is.
As you guys both know, my son, my younger boy, James, is a linebacker at Illinois, and I can't tell you how many times I've talked to him about, you see the way you play that position like Dick Butkus played that position. You hit people, you get after people. We were just talking the other day, he was talking to me about using his hands, and I said, you think Dick Butkus used his hands a lot? Run through that guy, right? Get downhill and run through people like Dick Butkus would. I mean, I can't tell you, even as a dad now, how many times you say that to a young guy who's playing linebacker.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Dick went to Chicago Vocational, right? He went there for high school, and he got married to his wife, Helen, out of high school, which is extraordinary if you think about it. And I think he was recruited heavily by Notre Dame. He wanted to go to Notre Dame, but they had no dorms for married couples. And that's really how he wound up at the U of I. And he went to Illinois, and I believe it was his senior year there where Sports Illustrated did a story where they named him the most feared man in football, but they implied that he wasn't very bright. And Dick, from that point on, was kind of not interested in talking to the media. So I think that throughout his career, and it was nothing like it is now, there's not the same kind of coverage, but he was also sort of, you know, he didn't talk a lot, and people didn't know him and didn't know, like, how his inner workings were, and he was just this entity that was burying people, and it even added to his reputation and the fear people felt.
Yeah, Olin, you were talking about being great at everything, just, you know, being a kid and hearing the stories of Dick Butkus, and then all of a sudden looking on TV and seeing him on TV. I was like, what? Really? And he's good. Yeah. Like you said, like he seems like a guy that whatever he's going to do, he's tackling, he's going to be the best at it he can be. And he's really good at it. And that just blew me away as a kid as well, that you're like, that's Dick Butkus. He seems like a nice guy. You know?
Yeah.
And he's really good at it.
Just that, right? Anything he did.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing that a guy who left the field with the reputation he left the field with. And I've been lucky enough to know a few Butkuses. I know Luke really well, the Green Bay Packers O-line coach, former teammate of me and Pat Manley's, and also coach in the building with us. He was our assistant O-line coach. The Butkuses are exactly what you think they are, man. Good, tough people, right? You go down and have a beer with the Butkuses, you're going to have a good time, right? Because for me, they're football people. They're football people, but like we keep saying about this man, he was so much more, man. He was, nowadays, everyone always says, like, be more than a football player. You can accomplish more. He was doing this way back in the day, and he showed all of us what to do. What a role model. What an icon. And just a man that you continue to look up to and point to as the epitome and the standard of what it is to be a football player and to be more than that.
Yeah, a legend, an absolute legend. Yeah. You know, obviously a Hall of Famer and really so much more than that. I mean, if it's possible to have like a Hall of Fame within the Hall of Fame, Dick Butkus is in it. He was that great a player, you know, for some bad teams, man. You know, the Bears never made it to the Super Bowl with Butkus, and obviously to have Butkus and Sayers, and, you know, a lot of things were going on in those days, and, you know, George Allen had been here in Chicago, and he left to go to L.A., and that really damaged the team because he had kind of taken over a bit for George Halas at that point, and Halas didn't want to give him the money to stay because he felt that the guy was betraying him by leaving, and there were all sorts of weird things. But, I mean, just do yourself a favor and go to YouTube and just, you know, pay a little homage to Dick Butkus by watching some of his tape, because just an extraordinary player. And we have heavy hearts about it. And listen, you know, the city,
really do.
The city's sad because this is a local guy made good. This is, you know, a guy that grew up in the neighborhood. Doug Buffone used to say that Dick had like five or six older brothers, and one was bigger than the next. You know, they were these giant Lithuanian guys, and they would just, you know, kind of they must have been beating the hell out of him from a young age because he was tough as nails. But wow, you know, just a sad day.
I'm thinking about Olin back to 1999, right, when Walter Payton passed away. Mm-hmm. And obviously a very sad day with Dick Butkus. But back then, stories didn't need to be told to us as a team who the heck Walter Payton was. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of legends that have played for the Chicago Bears. This is another one that there's no stories that need to be told to this current team that's in that locker room getting ready for this game, understanding who he is as a Bear that has passed away. And that's just says a lot about those two players and Dick Butkus as well, that you don't have to say a word. You know, that word is right through the locker room right now, and they're all like, whoa, that man? Yeah, wow. You know what I mean? That's one of those guys that not a word needs to be said about him.
Mm-mm. No. No.
Let's hope it inspires them tonight, right, Olin?
Yes. Yeah, they could use some inspiration tonight, for sure. And, you know, just they're going to have to turn it into a Dick Butkus type of game to win there on the road, right? They're going to have to hit people. They're going to have to get after them. They're going to have to play right on that line. Right on that line of insanity and personal fouls to beat this Washington team.
All right, that was recorded just prior to the kickoff tonight, last night in D.C., featuring Olin Krutz along with Patrick Manley and Mully from Mully and Hall right here on 670 The Score, and they'll be dropping by in a few hours. But again, the passing of Dick Butkus. So if you have a Butkus story you can share with me, that would be awesome. Because I told you the highlight, when I first met Dick Butkus with the Bears Radio Network, I had never met him before, ever, never even spoke to him. And the first time I met him, I was in awe. I was intimidated. And he made me feel right at home. A very hard, firm handshake, but he was terrific. Because I would have to call him up saying, Dick, listen, here's what's going on for the pregame show. Here's what time we need you. You know, and we just, you know, set the format. And he was great. Never late for a meeting. Never late for on-air assignments. Nothing. He would sign autographs. He was a gentleman. He was passionate about football. And here's the thing about Butkus. Because he played 9 seasons, and you heard Mully talk about his knee situation, because he did have a chronic knee injury. And Butkus played 9 seasons in the National Football League. He was Pro Bowl 8 of the 9 seasons. And he retired in 1974. People have got to put things in perspective. He retired at the age of 31. He was in the Hall of Fame by his mid-30s, just like Gale Sayers, I think, was the youngest player ever in the National Football League to go into the Hall of Fame. Well, Dick Butkus was in the Hall of Fame, and understandably so. I mean, he was, you know, without question, he defined what a linebacker was in the National Football League. He was not only All-Pro, he went to the Hall of Fame in his first year of eligibility in 1979, and on and on and on. So, again, the passing of Dick Butkus. But if you got a Butkus story, or if you want to talk about the Bears, because they were inspired, of course, probably by the passion of one Dick Butkus, even though these players, obviously, were not even born when Butkus played, obviously. But hopefully they were able to meet him when Butkus would return to Halas Hall, or when he would show up at Soldier Field, which he did for the opener against the Green Bay Packers. And Butkus was very much in social media. If you saw Twitter, or if you went online to Instagram or Facebook, you saw a lot of Dick Butkus. And you know, at the age of 80, he was very, very engaged with his fan base. And he loved the Bears. So, again, here's our line to talk about Butkus or about the Bears and Fields. Do you feel this game that the Bears have turned the corner? 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. This is Chuck Swirsky. We are live. This is not tape, okay? We're not talking about the Twins and the Astros on some network radio. We're talking Bears football on Bears coverage like no one else in the great city of Chicago, 670 The Score. And we continue right right here on 670 The Score as the Bears beat Washington last night 40-20 in the win column for the first time this season, snapping a 14-game losing streak, longest in Bears history. The combo of DJ Moore, who, by the way, will join Mullion Hall at 8 a.m. right here on 670 The Score, but Fields and Moore connected 8 times, 230 yards, and 3 touchdowns as the Bears get it done. Gotta love it. Let's go to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. You can also text us at that number, 312-644-6767. We're here until 5 a.m., then we'll turn it over to Dustin Rhodes with a pregame show, then a full day of Bears football, and also remembering the great late Dick Butkus, and I can't believe I'm saying this, the great late Dick Butkus, but the life and the legacy, you know, I look when someone passes. My mom would always tell me that you celebrate the life and not mourn the dead. And so there's always a grieving period, no question. Family, friends, those very close to him, grieving is very, very healthy without any question. But it's also we celebrate his life. We celebrate the impact that Dick Butkus had because of football, because he loved football, and he loved the fans, he loved the Bears, he loved Chicago, and the enjoyment that he provided as a player for all of us who just loved sports. So I'm celebrating Dick Butkus. That's how I'm going to remember Dick, as somebody who was great to me, very kind to me, never big-time me, but again, he loved the Bears. Let's go to Walter from Berwyn. Walter, you're on 670 The Score.
Good morning, Chuck. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Haven't talked to you since the old days back in the 80s at the remotes before Bears games back in the day.
That's right.
So, two quick stories. One, my brother had the privilege of playing against Butkus in high school. My brother played for Lane Tech in the early 60s, and the story that was given was that the coach from Lane Tech said, "All right, every play, Butkus is on his rear end. Legally or not, he's on his butt." Huh. So that was the story then. And like I said, they had the privilege of, Lane Tech was one of CBS's big rivals back then in the playoffs. And then the second story was about 25, 30 years ago, I was working, I was a delivery driver for a hospital, and Butkus was at one of the small care centers going to be doing some pictures and a meet and greet for like a half hour to an hour. And I had the privilege of meeting him before the thing started. So I walked up to him, "Mr. Butkus," and I looked at him and I said, "By the way, my brother played against you in high school." And he looked up, he was sitting at the table. He looked up with that scowl of his and like growled, and he said, "Your brother didn't play for Lane Tech, did he?" And we just had a laugh, and I said, "How did you know that?" And he goes, "Those were the only people that would ever tell me that they played against me in high school were Lane Techers."
Wow, how about that? That's a great story. I appreciate that, Walter. Thank you so much. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. You're listening to 670 The Score. Rob, dialing us up from Round Lake. Rob, what's on your mind? You want to talk Butkus? You want to talk about the Bears game? You tell me.
It's a few things. Just listening now to what people are saying and what you have said about mourning, I just happened to be in town, Southern Illinois, where a friend of mine had passed away the same day I came into town. And the passing for her was sadness. And on the way home, I listened to the Bears game, and Butkus passed away. And it's the same thing. It's a mourning. And it doesn't matter if it's a friend, if it's a celebrity, a football player, whoever it is. Everybody feels that, at some point.
Absolutely. Especially here in Chicago. The great thing about Chicago, this isn't New York or L.A. where you see a bunch of celebrities walking around and, people idolize movie stars. This is Chicago. We are Chicago. We are a city of broad shoulders, like Carl Sandburg said. So when you have an athlete or a sports personality, for that matter, or a news anchor, I mean, we kind of put them on a pedestal because of their success and their notoriety and their excellence and what they've achieved. And Butkus, without any doubt, was on that Mount Rushmore of celebrities and sports personalities in Chicago. And without question, will go down as if not number one or two to Peyton as the finest football players in the history of this franchise, a very storied franchise. And I think it was great that the Bears brought him back in the mid-'80s as a broadcaster, and then he remained involved with the organization doing speaking engagements or hanging around the team, and they would invite him back for games. I think it was fabulous. I really do.
Adding to that, his passing reminded me when Walter Payton passed away. There was a blocked field goal where even the announcers on the broadcast, it seemed like the man that blocked, and I'm sorry for details of names, I just had to deal with memories, actually blocked in a field goal, and they had won that night when Walter Payton passed away. And they said it seemed like he was held in the air magically and blocked this field goal. Well, tonight, Buck has passed away, and on the night they passed away, they unhexed their 14 loss streak.
Yep.
And they won.
And they won. So thank you. Yes. And they won. And they won big time. Let's go to Mark calling from South Bend. Mark, you're on 670 The Score.
How you doing, Chuck? And that's thank you for doing the segment with us. I lived in Northwest Indiana, Crown Point. There was a car dealership, a Ford dealership, that was going to have an appearance Monday morning. Butkus was playing that afternoon against the Redskins. And it was announcement in the paper from 7 to 8 p.m. He was signing autographs at the dealership. And the day before was a game against the Redskins where it was a game of field goals. But the Bears finally scored a touchdown. And if they make the extra point, they got the lead by 1 point with like a minute left. The snap on the kick was fumbled. It was a loose ball. The snapper had to pick it up. Dick Butkus was lined up on the end blocking, but he was an eligible receiver, and he caught the extra point play.
Correct.
And which led the Bears to victory that game.
That was November of 71, 16-15.
That is correct. And he came down and made his appearance at the Ford dealership, and the ad said for 1 hour, but he stayed past 9 o'clock talking to everyone. And that he talked about 200 extra young kids, signed memorabilia, and was quite an individual.
Wow, that's a great story. How about that on the day of a game, right?
It was the next Monday night.
The
following Monday.
Wow,
right.
Good stuff. Thank you, Mark. Drive safely wherever you're at in South Bend, Indiana. Let's go to Tom from Elmwood Park on 670 The Score. We're on the air until 5 a.m., and then we'll turn things over to Dustin Rhodes with a pregame, the pick six, and then Mully and Haw. Don't forget, at 8 a.m., a DJ Moore, a star, a big-time star, and it was his coming-out party for the Bears tonight, and that's why they invested so much in that Carolina trade, getting DJ Moore. Go ahead. Welcome to the program, Tom.
Hey, guys. Thank you, man. Coming from Elwood Park. Hey, I love the Bears, right? Everybody does. But doesn't it hurt your feelings? For real. Think about this. I'm a Bears fan true and true. I'm 40 years old, just turned it. Every time I watch the Bears, I just want them to win. Other than today.
Whoa. Why didn't you want the Bears to win last night against Washington?
Well, last night, like 6 hours ago, was epic, right?
Yeah, but why didn't you want the Bears to win this particular game? That's the question I'm posing.
Because, you know, okay, hold on.
No. Why didn't you want the Bears to win the game? Very simple question, and give me an answer.
Because they're not going to make the playoffs.
So, wait a minute. You want the ball club to tank. Now, let me ask you a question, okay?
Yes,
I'm going to put you on the spot. I want to know something. When usually when GMs and head coaches, during their first press conference, what do they always say? We need to change the culture of our organization, right? You hear this all the time. Culture this, always. Culture that, culture, culture, culture. I have culture coming out of my ears. Okay, so do you think it's healthy? Do you honestly think it's advantageous for a franchise to tank? Yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. This is not good. Not good. I'm sorry. I'm getting hot, Tom, because you don't lose football games. What did Herman Edwards say? You play to win the game.
I get it.
No, you don't. You just called. No. You called and said you're disappointed the Bears win. You didn't want the Bears to win because you want them to lose to get a pick.
Okay.
You play to win the game.
That's good.
Yeah,
I like it.
It is good. Because
It's very good. I remember.
Yeah, but Tom, come on. You don't really mean this. You're just trying to get a spark going at 3 a.m. in the morning.
No. 100%. Listen. I get it.
Have you been having too much Mr. Pibb tonight?
No, I wish I had Mr. Pibb. Mr. Pibb's great. Hold on. This is for real, though.
Yeah.
Listen, you do play to win the game.
Yes,
obviously.
You do.
I'm an athlete. I play every game to win.
Okay. Now, what sport do you play there, Tom?
I played semi-pro.
Okay.
Baseball.
So did you ever go into a game saying, I want to strike out four times.
No, I get it.
I'm going to drop every pass.
Listen, also, I did not know that I could leave a franchise better off.
Oh, my gosh.
Hold on.
No, I'm not going to hold on because this call is going nowhere. Tom, I love you, but no. I got to go and take a break. But we're gonna say thank you for the call. I do thank you for the call, but you don't develop culture, a winning attitude by tanking. Those things will take care of itself. You win football games, okay? And don't forget the Bears own Carolina's pick. So every time Carolina loses, the Bears win. Period. But I don't want to hear this thing about tanking. Tank this, tank that. No, you don't tank. You win games. You got a young team. You have to instill winning in your organization. I'm not into this stuff, this tanking, really. All right, we got to take a break, right? Yep, it's just before 3 a.m. This is Chuck Swirsky. You can call me, 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. If you don't want to go on the air, you can always text me. We got 2 hours left. Live radio, Bears radio, 670 The Score. You want to talk Butkus? We'll talk the man from Illinois. How Howard Cosell on Monday Night Football, he would do every, about five or six, seven games at halftime. He would get the clips from the NFL films, and then he would do the voiceover an hour before the game on Monday Night Football, Tyler.
That's epic.
So you could go right now, you could go on Google. Google's great and YouTube. But you could go to Howard Cosell with his halftime. And there is number 51 of the Chicago Bears. And look at Dick Butkus. And there is Lenny Moore. And yet it was Butkus who just submarined Lenny Moore and sent him to the planet Pluto. So anyway, that was unbelievable. But anyway, so if you want to give me a call, 312-644-6767, and please, no tank calls, all right? Let's celebrate a win. Can we get excited that a team won a football game, that they end a 14-game losing streak? Why do we have to talk about tanking? Let's talk about Fields. Let's talk about Moore. Let's talk about Eberflus. And let's talk about, that the Bears' offense was in sync. And the Bears are losing players left and right, running backs, DBs, offensive linemen, you name it. They're just going to the tent, and yet they found a way to win. So anyway, all right, we're going to take a break. Back with more in a moment, 670 The Score.
Hello, you play to win the game.